Hello, friends. Tribute to Jim Nantz. This is the Todd Wright Toddcast. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Email is wright.todd@yahoo.com. Today, I'm going to theorize based on some things I watched recently and some additional deep dive research I will do with you, where it is toughest in the United States to be a major sports fan. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group, longtime supporters of Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments. They are participating in the sold-out Todd Wright Tour XLII at Lake Jovita Golf and Country Club on May 15th. Thanks to Jeremy. Thanks to Sean. Colin will be playing with Jeremy in that special two-person scramble format limited field at Lake Jovita. Thanks to Brandon Legal Group always for their support of my golf tournaments as well as my podcasts. They are a full-service law firm. They service the greater Tampa Bay area. Full service can mean family law. Full service can mean divorce. Full service can mean child support adjustment. If you're not certain what full service means as it relates to your legal need, you can receive a free consultation by calling 813-902-3576, 813-902-3576, or visit BrandonLegalGroup.com. Brandon Legal Group, your full service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. Already told you my email for podcast purposes, right.todd@yahoo.com if you want golf information. We're about to take our summer break. I do not choose to organize golf events when I may be dealing with a muddy golf course, dealing with a postponement due to lightning or thunderstorms or other weather-related issues. And even if it's not a muddy golf course and there's no lightning in the area and it's not raining, it can be pretty sticky and miserable, even if conditions are perfect from those other aspects. It's tough. So we'll come back. I'll announce future dates. I'm actually going to announce Todd Wright Tour 43, 44, 45, and 46 in the coming weeks. ToddWrightGolf@gmail.com. Instagram at ToddWright2121. Twitter, ToddWright2121. You can be my Facebook friend as I am Todd Wright in Tampa, Florida. So late last week in the Stanley Cup playoffs, one of my favorite things this time of year. Let's just talk about how I got to this point, about theorizing where it might be the most difficult to be a sports fan in the United States. Now, all of you, so before I get to that, all of you have your allegiances, right? We all do. We all have favorite teams. I would imagine a majority of people root for teams in the cities in which they live or used to live. It can be exclusive. It can be a combination. There's a lot of that. So if you live in, I'm just going to throw cities out. If you live in Arizona, you root for the sports teams in Arizona, Phoenix, and out from there. If you live in Nashville, you have teams, pro and college. If you live in New York, granted, no championships for over a decade in terms of the major sports, but there's been a lot of success prior to that with a lot of different teams, right? Two Major League Baseball teams, two National Football League teams, two NBA teams, three hockey teams, all of which made the playoffs this past year. For those of you that listen to me locally in Tampa Bay, of course, NFL, NHL, Lightning eliminated in the first round this year, Major League Baseball. So I get it that you have your own opinions and might be saying, well, yeah, it's toughest where I live or for the teams that I root for. I'm going to give you an example that is contrarian to that, unless you fall into the loyalties of where I'm about to focus in on. And if you're not loyal to the teams from this particular city or two or state, it might make you feel better about your own teams. Now, making this personal, I was born in Cincinnati, Ohio, and raised on the Big Red Machine. So I grew up to love baseball, and that team was awesome to follow as a kid. I brought that loyalty with me to Florida when my grandparents, my legal guardians, chose to get the hell out of the cold, pack up the car, drive down 75, and relocate to the Gulf Beaches in the Tampa Bay area. Once and always a fan of the Reds, I am resigned to the fact that they will not win and may never win again, but they have won in their past 5 championships. I went to the University of Miami, had a great time at the University of Miami, and was there for the Catholics versus Convicts era, which was phenomenal in terms of college football. While I was there, Miami won 2 national championships, and as written accurately in Jimmy Johnson's book, Swagger, basically should have won 3 in a row as it relates to what happened in 1988 had there been replay for the game at Notre Dame, which was Miami's only loss. Notre Dame went on under Lou Holtz to win that national championship. So Miami has won 5 national titles. 1 before I went to school there, 2 while I was in school there, 2 since I left school there, and I was at the last one when they routed Nebraska in the BCS title game in the Rose Bowl. Speaking of the Rose Bowl, I was in the Rose Bowl for 1 of the Dallas Cowboys' 5 titles. People often ask me, how in the world are you a lifelong Cowboys fan? It's actually very simple. So when my grandparents, legal guardians, brought me to Florida, it was just prior to 1976. So there were no Tampa Bay Buccaneers yet. And basically there were 2 television windows for the National Football League available over the air in Tampa, Florida. The 1 o'clock game was almost always the Miami Dolphins because they were a very good team. And the 4 o'clock game was almost always the Dallas Cowboys because they were a very good team. These were teams of national significance. The Bucs come along and suddenly the Dolphins aren't on at 1 o'clock. It actually upset a lot of people in the Tampa Bay area. But because the Bucs stunk for so long, the Cowboys kept being the national game often at 4 o'clock that I could continue to watch. And that's watching Roger Staubach and everything about the Cowboys at that time made me and has kept me a longtime fan of the Dallas Cowboys, and they have won 5 Super Bowls. So each of my 3 favorite teams, and no other teams are really even close, each of my 3 favorite teams have won 5 national titles. I don't know. I'm hoping one of them give me 1 more before I die. That's what I would like. I think the only hope is the Cowboys. And for those of you saying, well, good luck with that. Well, compare it to the other two and where the Hurricane football program is and where Cincinnati Reds baseball is, at least the Cowboys are in play. Last Super Bowl, 95. I'll circle back to that. So let's talk about what it's like to be a fan of Minnesota sports. Living in and around the Twin Cities, I have visited the Twin Cities many times. The people in the Twin Cities are good people. More recently, a professional friend of someone very special in my life was from Minnesota, relocated back to Minnesota for generous family reasons that made all the sense in the world. And he and I, through my very special friend, still go back and forth about the state of Twin Cities or Minnesota sports. And I thought about this late last week as teams were being eliminated, you know, 8 teams eliminated in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And one of them was the Minnesota Wild, a professional hockey team that's been around a little over 20 years now. A team that came into the Twin Cities as an expansion team, replacing what they previously had with the Minnesota North Stars when that franchise relocated to Dallas, Texas, 30-ish years ago. as the NHL started expanding to Sunbelt markets to grow their sport and grow their league. So the Wild were eliminated, ironically, by the Dallas Stars in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And the current streak for Minnesota's pro hockey team in the Stanley Cup playoffs is not very good. So they lost in the first round this year. They lost in the first round last year. They lost in the first round the previous year. They lost in the qualifying round. If you remember, we had that in the bubble for the pandemic. So that doesn't even really count as a playoff series, but they lost that too. They did not qualify for the postseason the year before that. They lost in the first round the year before that. They lost in the first round the year before that. They lost in the first round the year before that. So their last win of any type in the postseason is the year before that, the 2015 Stanley Cup playoffs. They beat the Blues 4-2 and then quickly were swept in four by the eventual Stanley Cup champion Blackhawks, who went on to beat the Lightning in those 2014 Stanley Cup playoffs. So the Minnesota Wild hockey team is on a horrible run of not winning anything in the postseason since the 2015 Stanley Cup playoffs. And as a franchise, they have only appeared in the conference finals once, and they lost that conference final to then the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim, who went on to lose those Stanley Cup finals that year to the New Jersey Devils. So for the 20-plus years of hockey for the Minnesota Wild, they've only reached the conference finals once, were swept, so they've never reached the Stanley Cup finals. They've never won a Stanley Cup. So that's a bad run for their pro hockey team. Now, I thought about this also because I was one of those locally in the Tampa Bay area interested in the Frozen Four, which I believe was the third time that Amalie Arena, Tampa Bay Sports Commission, Rob Higgins have hosted the NCAA Frozen Four National Championship. Golden Gophers ice hockey is a good program. There is a history of Frozen Four trips for the University of Minnesota and national championships. The last national championship was all the way back, though, in 2003. So this was it's been 20 years, and here was Minnesota back in the Frozen Four, just as they were last year, and they win their semifinal game to advance to the championship game on Tampa ice against Quinnipiac, the little program that could. And the Golden Gophers had a third period lead. Quinnipiac, led by Rod Brind'Amour's son as one of the better players on Quinnipiac, or as I like how they call themselves, QU. They tie the game, force overtime. And basically, if you don't know, overtime went like this. We're going to start the overtime period, and the referee drops the puck. The ref drops the puck. On the faceoff, the puck ends up out of play. So kind of weird, but, you know, it happens. So, you know, guys fight for the puck. What goes out? No delay game, no nothing. No one had possession yet. So it just flies out of play. 2 seconds went off the clock as that happened. So we just reset. We're just going to start. We're going to do it again, even though the clock ran 2 seconds off. So now we're at 1958. We're going to drop the puck again at center ice, and here we go. Boom, 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 boom. Quinnipiac wins the national championship in 8 seconds, from 1958 on the clock to 1950 on the clock. A referee was wiped out on the play. There were, two passes, maybe three passes, because the faceoff brought back into the Quinnipiac zone. Then a pass up, and then a crossing pass. So you had two passes, a shot, score, game over. And Minnesota loses the national championship game just like that, and hasn't won a national championship in college hockey in 20 years. So that's the hockey part of it. Let's stick with the University of Minnesota just because it's right there in the city limits, right? It's in Minneapolis. The Wild play in St. Paul, but they go by Twin Cities. When you think of the top basketball programs in, let's just say, recent years, you certainly don't think of Minnesota's basketball program. Now, I remember when Bobby Jackson, because I was really into the Fab Five when they played at Michigan, and Bobby Jackson was kind of the sixth member of the Fab Five that didn't play at Michigan. So he played at Minnesota. And because of him, Minnesota had some success with Bobby Jackson. They were good. They had just gone to a couple of Sweet 16s, 89 and 90, actually lost in the Elite Eight in 1990. I think that was after or before Bobby Jackson would have been there, because the Fab Five was, let me think about this, 92 and 93, with losses in the national title game to Duke and then North Carolina. But Minnesota basketball has not advanced to the Sweet 16 officially since 1990. Yeah. And there's even a vacated appearance in the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight from 1997 because the players were having their papers written by a woman who came forward, and that was that. So Minnesota basketball officially hasn't made the Sweet 16 since 1990. So nothing good going on there. So what about their football program, right? They're in the Big Ten. So the key thing there is the Rose Bowl, right? That's what all Big Ten programs play for. They play to get to the Rose Bowl. Well, when you think of the Big Ten and you think of teams that go to the Rose Bowl, you don't think about Minnesota. I mean, it's even a big deal, you know, if Minnesota is playing Ohio State and they have a lead. But inevitably, usually Ohio State comes back, wins a game like that. It happened within the last couple of years. The last, quote, claimed national title by Minnesota was 1960. And the last time Minnesota went to the Rose Bowl was the 1961 season under some coach named Murray Warmath. And they beat UCLA 21-3. So that's what you play for in the Big Ten. You play to go to the Rose Bowl. And the last time Minnesota went to the Rose Bowl was the 1961 season. So even with the University of Minnesota's athletic programs, with what are the three big sports there? Hockey, no national titles in 20 years. College basketball, no appearances officially in the Sweet 16 in over 30 years. No Rose Bowl appearances in the last 60 plus years. So that's that. Obviously, I don't need to spend a lot of time on the Minnesota Timberwolves because they haven't done very much, right? They made one run, 1 year, and I believe lost to the Lakers in the West Finals. And that's kind of it, which is not very good for a team that's been around over 40 years. No titles, no appearances in the NBA Finals. One division title, 2004. That's it. One retired number. I didn't even know this. Malik Sealy's number 2 is retired by the Minnesota Timberwolves. Of course, he was killed driving home from a birthday celebration for Kevin Garnett in downtown Minnesota. So that is a tribute, an appropriate one, to Malik Sealy by retiring his number 2. The Wolves were just eliminated despite playing in through the NBA play-in tournament. They were eliminated in the first round of the NBA playoffs, and one of their best players, who was the number 1 pick of the NBA draft a few years ago, as he left the court, picked up a folding chair and hurled it like a helicopter and struck 2 female employees of the team hosting that game. Almost an appropriate sort of statement on where the Timberwolves franchise is, as they have accomplished nothing for their 40 plus years in the NBA. Let's talk about the Twins. Because, yeah, the Twins have won World Series, but it's been a while. The World Series they won were in 1924, but in our lifetimes, 1987, 1991, these were big-time World Series. They were a big-time team. Names you know, particularly Kirby Puckett. Games you know. And we'll see you tomorrow night. Pitching performances by Jack Morris, Kent Herbeck. I have all these Wheaties boxes that were tributes to championship teams. And I have one from the Twins. They played a phenomenal series against the Cardinals in 87. And then it was what? It was Jack Morris against John Smoltz in Game 7 of 91. And that one went the Twins' way. As well. But since then, they have not won a World Series since 91, so that's over 30 years. They have not been in a World Series since 91. They have not won, they were re-division, so yeah, they've won their division since moving from the West to the Central. But the problem is how badly the Twins do in postseason series. They have somehow lost their last 18 postseason baseball games. That's hard to do. The Rays just made headlines by starting a season winning 13 in a row. Somehow, the Minnesota Twins have lost across multiple years 18 straight playoff games against multiple opponents, whether it's a wild card game, whether it's a best of 5, 18 straight losses. It's tough to have the same result in a baseball game 18 straight times. Somehow, the Twins have done it. So nothing there the last 30 years, and a horrible postseason streak, which brings us to their NFL team, the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings just this past year in the NFL playoffs lost at home to a New York Giants team that had not won a playoff game since Super Bowl 46. Vikings were at home. Giants first-year head coach, Daniel Jones, possibly last game with the Giants. Giants go into U.S. Bank Stadium. Giants win. Vikings out in the first round of the National Football League playoffs. Vikings haven't been to a Super Bowl since 1976. Remember, they had the phenomenal season late in the 20th century. They're sending out Gary Anderson to kick a field goal that would send Minnesota to what I believe was Super Bowl 33 to play the defending champion Denver Broncos. Gary Anderson hadn't missed all year. Shank. Against the Atlanta Falcons. Falcons win in overtime. Falcons go to the Super Bowl, get their ass kicked against the Broncos. That game, chronicled in a great episode of How I Met Your Mother called Little Minnesota. If you ever want to look it up, the episode is called Little Minnesota, How I Met Your Mother, and it talks about that NFC title game. And the Vikings have most recently went to the NFC title game 6 years ago against the Philadelphia Eagles, got their ass kicked. They got there with the, Minneapolis miracle when Case Keenum hits Stephon Diggs and Saints defenders just took each other out. Diggs turns around with no time on the clock and there's nobody between him and the end zone. He runs in and Minnesota wins. I mean, it was a great highlight for Minnesota, but it just got you to the NFC title game where the Eagles kicked your ass. And then your coach, obviously with the approval of your GM, both of which are gone now, ran off the quarterback that got you to that NFC title game in Case Keenum. Ran him off. Instead, you've been paying Kirk Cousins ridiculous amounts of money every year since then, and for what? Knowing full well Kirk Cousins in big games generally loses. And not only have you not been to a Super Bowl since 1976, last year you won the NFC title, you lost all those Super Bowls. The Vikings, you know, have lost four Super Bowls, famously. They did it before the Bills did it. So there's no Super Bowl champion banners for the Minnesota Vikings, even though they've had good teams and they've had good players and they've been in the playoffs 31 times in NFL history. Zero. Zero Super Bowl championships. Haven't been to one since 1976. So that's what people in Minnesota, people in Minneapolis, people in St. Paul, people in the surrounding area, they have four professional sports teams, one in each of the four major sports. And they have a school right there in Minneapolis in the Big Ten, one of the two power conferences in college sports. And there's nothing there. And I mean, if you take out the college hockey title in 2003, you got to really go back even further to find the last time they have flown a championship flag. I feel for the good people of Minnesota who are loyal to their sports teams. They're good people. They haven't been delivered anything in 20 years. And some would say, yeah, the college hockey thing. I mean, hockey's big there, but it doesn't compare to if the Vikings won the Super Bowl or how it's been over 30 years since the Twins won a World Series. I mean, these teams can't even advance in the postseason. The Minnesota Wild can't advance. The Twins can't win a postseason game. The Wolves go out in embarrassing fashion. The Golden Gophers can't sniff the Rose Bowl. College basketball is, what's going on there? It's awful. Yet these people stay loyal. They do. Because I've had back and forth with the friend of someone very special in my life. And occasionally, he fires off to me something negative about the Dallas Cowboys. To which my response, if he happens to be listening to this podcast, will end this podcast. Dave, why are you talking to me? Because while you're making fun of my Dallas Cowboys and how they haven't appeared or won a Super Bowl since 1995, back to you, why are you talking to me? Because Dallas's last Super Bowl appearance was 95. Your last Super Bowl appearance was 76. Dallas won that Super Bowl, and they've won 5. Minnesota has yet to win 1. Why are you talking to me? Love you, Dave. So maybe that makes you feel better if you are a suffering sports fan somewhere else in the United States, loyal to the home teams. I don't think anyone has suffered more than the people of the Twin Cities and the surrounding area in the state of Minnesota. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group. Remember, for a free consult, call anytime, 813-902-3576. My email is right.todd@yahoo.com. We'll talk to you next time.